seek the Lord and understand what he has to say. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you confirm your word this morning as it is preached and as it is taught through the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're continuing on the battleground of the soul. And we're looking at part two this morning because we went through several things last time. We went through the difference between the spirit and the soul. We went through the fact that when we are born again, the Bible says that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So that which is born of the spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, is spirit, little s. So our spirits were born again, but our soul, which consists of our mind, our will and emotions, our attitudes, our soul is not born again and needs to be transformed by renewing. And that renewing is done through the Word of God. We also know that our body, our flesh, is not born again as well and has to be trained and put in line with the Word of God. And we know that Paul the Apostle said, I keep my body under. So it has to be put in line with the Word of God. Now we do that through understanding this whole area of the soul. And clearly, this is an area of attack in the spiritual area by the enemy or the adversary, which is the devil, Satan. If we don't understand this, then we're going to be in ignorant of the very warfare that's around us and that is happening. You see, when we are practicing spiritual warfare, it's not just, oh, there's some devil over there and we rebuke it. No, the whole area of warfare, and we'll see it in a bit more detail today, the whole area of warfare is centred on attacking of the mind and of keeping people thinking a particular way. So many do not understand the spiritual warfare at all, and so they're rebuking things, but not seeking to be transformed by the renewing of their mind and understanding that this is where Satan seeks to put up strongholds. Look at Romans 12 verse 2. Here we see the battle is described in Romans 12 verse 2. We've looked at this a lot of times, but let's look at it afresh. It's like we are eating spiritually the Word of God, and the Word of God is fresh to us each time we eat it spiritually. It is a wonderful word. And now we do realise, and you should realise this from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for example, where we understand that the god of this world is Satan, little g, god of this world. Now here we see in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what we see here is that there is two ways to go. There is the way of being conformed to the world, and keep in mind that the god of this world is Satan. So being conformed to the world is not being conformed to God's ways. So you see here that the scripture's instructing us, be not conformed to this world. Conformed obviously means become like or become similar to or act like or think like. It's obviously talking a lot about the thinking, isn't it? Because it then goes on to, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may remember I said that the way you think determines your actions. The way you think and believe determines your actions. If you think and believe all types of wrong things, then your actions will follow along doing all types of wrong things. But if you think and believe in terms of the Word of God, And the Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we saw last time that it's able to divide between the soul and spirit. And we understand that the word of God must be the determining factor as to what you think and how you think and how you're going to get your mind renewed. Because if you get your mind renewed according to the word of God, then you're thinking God's thoughts after him. Okay? He put the word of God into the earth. He put the word of God for a purpose into the earth, not just to be sitting on someone's mantelpiece, but for you to grab hold of it, read it, digest it spiritually, and put it into action. Okay? You need to be speaking the word. You need to be meditating on the word. You need to be observing the word. Okay, all of this is part of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see the battleground here. We see the battle described. Because when it says, be not conformed to this world, but... So be not conformed to this world, there's conformity to the world, but there's also this other area of being conformed to the image of Christ, which means taking on the mind of Christ, which means being renewed in your mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can see that the Lord is very clearly pinpointing that this whole area of the battle is the mind. There's either conformity to this world, and the way the devil does that is through blinding the minds of them that believe not, keeping them in blindness, keeping them in a way of thinking that's wrong, because then the actions will follow that. Okay? But what we have to do as word people is the word of God is final authority, and so it must be final authority in our thinking as well. Okay? So we see here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So on the other side of things, where the God of this world is trying to get people to conform to his ways, then he is wanting people to do his will. So you can see that people that are being transformed by the renewing of their mind, they're able to understand God's will and put God's will into their life. And that's what proving it is all about. It's good and acceptable and perfect. It's wonderful. So we have to see that the battle is in this whole area of conformity, and it's in the mind area, which has to be renewed rather than allowing ourselves to be thinking the ways of the world and being conformed to the world. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. Once again, this shows where the battle is, and the battle is described here as well in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. And notice what it says here, starting with verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 11. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Those words, ye might well bear with him, is something to take notice of. Because what we see here is in verse 3, people's minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It is simple to just say, the word of God is my final authority. If I need to change, then I take the word as being the final word. That's simplicity. It's very clear, it's very pure, it's easy to state. It's not something that is complex. Where's the problem? Well, the problem is in this whole area of the serpent beguiling through his subtlety. We see here his subtlety. He's got deception in place. He's got things which he makes appear good when it's not good. He did that with Eve, for example, made things appear, made the fruit appear good and wonderful when it wasn't what God wanted her to do, and also deceived her into thinking that God was keeping something back from her and that God's word was somehow wrong. You see, isn't this what the devil wants to do? He wants to deceive people into thinking the word of God is wrong, or you can explain it away. Things like that will cause what the Bible is saying here is corruption. So people's minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And notice in verse 4 what can happen. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and we can also see that Jesus has the title of the Word of God, and Jesus matches with the Word. So preaching another Jesus, another one, another word, another way, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Notice what he says, whom we have not preached. Okay, so if someone comes or something comes that's another which has not been preached, if you're corrupted, if your mind has been corrupted, you'll receive that. You'll receive that. Or it says there, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, initially you have received the spirit of faith, but then another can come along and there can be doubt and all types of other things, the spirit of fear, for example, and that comes through your mind being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Or another gospel, another word, which you have not accepted. And notice it says you might well bear with him. So if your mind gets corrupted away from the simplicity of just accepting the word of God, just accepting what Christ stands for, if you're corrupted, you'll bear with the wrong things. You'll accept the wrong things. Your mind will be corrupted into accepting the wrong things. So what we can see is you'll accept things that are out of the will of God. But what did Christ say we should be praying? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we should be saying, well, God's will on the earth is not being done, but we want it to be done. So let's us make sure that we do the will of God. And then our lives are a reflection and witness of the will of God. How? Through the word of God, through the transformed by the renewing of the mind, through us being obedient, speaking it, knowing it, and so on. So you can see that there can be a beguiling, there can be a subtlety by the serpent, by Satan himself, and people can receive all the wrong things, and their minds can be corrupted so that they're receiving the wrong type of things. But the simplicity is you take the word as it stands. You don't try to dumb it down to your own experience. You don't try to explain it away. You take it as it stands. If the word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, that's the final authority. Then it doesn't matter how I feel. I, on the basis of that word, get up and I say, I can do all things. You notice you've got to say it. You believe it. You say it. You meditate on it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's one example. And it applies to all, every aspect of our life. What are you believing for? And so on. Well, the Bible says that the God of hope gives you joy and peace in believing. You know, where does hope come from? From the Word of God. All of this interacts together, but you have to take, and you have to have an understanding of where the battle is. And if the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, then certainly it's happening today. Certainly it's happening on a constant basis today. We won't turn to it, but 2 Corinthians 2:11 says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's ways or his devices. We should be understanding how he does things and what he does. So let's have a little look at what the enemy does. Now, look in John 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. Satan is a thief, and a destroyer, and a liar, and a killer. If we look at John 10, 10, we get an indication of what he is. And this is quite the opposite to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we'll read verse 11 as well. Now, verse 10 of John 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep," which is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Now, the thief cometh. You have to understand the nature of the devil. He is a thief. What did he do with Eve? He stole the word from her. Okay? He stole the word from her. Now, she allowed that, but he stole God's word from her. He stole God's will for her life from her. And, of course, they went into the curse, Adam and Eve. And so he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So God's way, God's good and acceptable and perfect will, is that you might have abundant life. You might have abundant life. Remember, I talked the other day about eternal life, and that's referring to a quality of life, because eternal life, meaning being with Christ, living with Christ, being with Christ, God, forever in his kingdom, is the opposite to what happens when people are taken out of God's will and led into destruction, and then eventually, even though they'll still exist, they will be eventually in the lake of fire forever and ever. And so what we want and what we are looking at, and we see God's will is for people, is for us to have abundant life through Christ. So being renewed in your mind is so that you understand, for example, how to walk by faith. It's not a mystery to you. You understand how to use the weapons of your warfare. It's not a mystery to you. You understand God's ways. It's not a mystery to you, because in those ways, in God's house and so on, are God's blessings. And it comes through his word, for us taking his word and believing it. But the thief cometh. Look at what the thief does in Mark 4, verse 15. Mark 4, verse 15. You see it clearly here, how he thieves the word from people. In Mark 4, verse 15. And notice what it says here. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, clearly, this is part of the battle, remember? The battleground of the soul is what we're looking at. The word is sown in someone's heart. And immediately Satan cometh here and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. So what is being replaced in there? Some other word, isn't it? Some other word. But immediately there's the thief coming. Now, we must be sober and vigilant, of course, because our adversary, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't want good things. He comes to kill, to steal, to kill, destroy. But here we see one of Satan's operations is to come immediately and take away the word that was sown. The only way to avoid that word being taken out is to have a good ground heart, to understand, well, the word is the truth. And you shall know the truth, as Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's important for us to see that the knowing of the truth, the taking of the truth, the receiving of the truth in simplicity is so very important. not to allow your mind to be corrupted to think, well, I can explain or allow it to be explained away or do this or so on. No, you know, you must take the Word of God as final authority in your life if you're to live a victorious life in Christ. Also, we have to understand that the devil is a liar. Look at John 8, verses 43 and 44. John 8, 43 and 44. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we see there are people on the earth, in fact many people, the majority of people on the earth are of their father the devil. They need to be born again so that they have God as their father. Here we see that the devil is a liar, and so the thoughts that he brings to people are lies to keep them away from believing the truth, which is the Word of God. We won't turn to it, but John 17:17 says, "Thy word," that's God's word, "is truth." Keep that always in your mind. God's word is truth. And when you understand that and you see, well, the devil's a liar from the beginning, he's not going to change, and we have to be sober and vigilant and make sure that we understand that the thief is coming and he's going to try to get the word out, he's going to try to make it so that the word doesn't look to be working and so on. But you must say, no, the Word of God is truth. The Word of God is final. And that's what I believe. I'm not going to believe a lie. I'm not going to believe a lie. I'm not going to believe that the word doesn't work. I'm not going to believe that God has deserted me or deserted the church. I'm not going to believe that I'm in defeat and not able to get the victory. Well, the Bible says God always causes us to triumph in Christ. What's the truth? God always causes me to triumph in Christ. And I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. What's the truth? I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Not, oh, there's this circumstance that's happened, so therefore I'm in defeat and I don't have the victory. No, no. You speak to the mountain and get the mountain out of the way in Jesus' name, and you say, coming out of your mouth, the word of God, which is, I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. So this type of attitude will ensure that you're not deceived by the devil and his lies, and will ensure that the thief, when he tries to come, doesn't have an inroad in your life and can't put up any barriers to the Lord's ways or the Lord's words. Also have a look at Revelation 12 verse 9. We see once again the nature of the devil is deception. Revelation 12 verse 9. 12 verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Now we're told to what? Be not conformed to this world. Okay? Well, here's a big reason why not to be conformed to the world. Because the devil deceiveth the whole world. Not just part of the world, but the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So where is he now? Well, he's wandering to and fro on the earth, okay, and in the heavenlies. He's the prince of the power of the air. So he actually has access all around the earth at the moment. And he's deceiving the whole world. But praise the Lord, notice what it says in verse 11, And they, talking about believers in Christ, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now I just want to concentrate on the word of your testimony. What is the word of your testimony? Well, your testimony must match with the word of God. Otherwise, you will never overcome. If your testimony is deviating from the word of God, and this is why you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then if your testimony does not line up with the word of God, then the devil can come in, he can deceive, he can lie, he can, as we saw before, corrupt your mind so that you'll receive other things. You'll receive another Jesus, or another gospel, or another spirit. But what's the solution to that? Because this is where the real spiritual warfare is. The solution must always be that the word of our testimony lines up with God's word. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood of the Lamb speaks of redemption. What's in our redemption? What has the blood of the Lamb purchased for us? Healing, prosperity, salvation, forgiveness, life, strength, power, all of that is in the redemption provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that his blood is precious. Praise the Lord. So let's understand that even though he's deceiving the whole world, if you determine I'm not going to be conforming to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, then it's an insulation. It's a barrier for the devil. He cannot get through that if you are consistent in your life. Because you can say, with Paul, you could say, I have the mind of Christ. How can you say that? Unless your mind is being transformed by renewing, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, there's many imaginations that the devil wants to set up. And this is why I went through these things. So you understand he's a deceiver. He's a liar. Okay? He's a thief. He's a killer. And so he was called a murderer as well. He's a destroyer. All of these is the will of what he wants for you. But he sets up imaginations against God, against Christ. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look at verses 3 to 5 here. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. I want you to understand the battleground of the soul. The battleground of the soul is something we must understand if we are to be able to enforce the victory in our life. If you do not understand it, then you will think, well, in order to reach the world, I've got to conform to the world, which is a load of rubbish. Because the Bible says that the Lord confirms the word. Okay? And that's what we've got to get conformed to, is the word, the image of Christ, we must be conformed to. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So he's talking about warfare for the Christian. We're in the flesh, we're walking in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, this is verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's not fleshly, not based in the flesh, not based in the natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Has God given you weapons? Can you think of even one? You should be able to. You cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Well, the name of Jesus must be a weapon then. Okay? What about the sword of the Spirit? What's the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God, isn't it? The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. So you must understand that without a knowledge of the word, how can you use the sword of the Spirit? How can you enforce? And notice it says weapons of our warfare. Weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This tells us that there can be strongholds that need to be pulled down by weapons that we people at war use, those that are Christians use. And notice what it says here, and it shows the very battleground. Casting down imaginations. Where's imaginations? It's in your mind, isn't it? It's in your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Where's the knowledge of God to be? In your mind, isn't it? What's your responsibility? Is God going to do this? No. God, your responsibility is for you to use the weapons He has provided to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Not just some thought, but every thought. This is what being transformed by the renewing of your mind is all about. Getting every thought into the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. So we understand here that we have to use the weapons in the area of our mind. All right? Let me give you a clear example of a woman that I dealt with for several years. And the Lord revealed to me the stronghold that was in her mind, and I'll show you how it operated. I visited a lady who was quite clear of mind in terms of, she was very lucid in one of the nursing homes once, for several years, for about three years. Now, she had a saving knowledge of Christ, but you know, she had one doctrine that kept her out of ever coming into a service, and that was the doctrine that she could not be around people because she was allergic to their deodorants. Well, that'll certainly keep you out of coming to an assembly if you believe that. Is that right? And certainly she believed that. Now, I presented the word to her. I presented the word of healing. I presented the word of the fact that you can speak to a thing and move the mountain out of the way. I said to her that you can use the name of Jesus. None of this mattered to her, because the devil had planted in her thinking, I cannot. And it got to a stage where she would not receive that word, and so I backed off, and I wasn't going to try and force any more about the word where she could have victory. But it got to the stage where she said, I cannot come into a congregation because of her thinking and her belief that she was allergic, and that was it. Do you know that if you base your thinking on the Word of God and act on that, that God can deliver you? Do you know that? He can heal you and deliver you. But you know, you actually have to, even whilst you have the problem, you actually have to take a step of faith. Do you know that? And that's an example of how a stronghold can be put into someone's thinking, even if they're a believer. And unless they take authority and cast down those strongholds, cast down those imaginations and deal with those strongholds, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You see, it shouldn't have been an option for her about coming to church, because the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, and that Christ is the head of the church and He purchased the church with His own blood. It shouldn't have been an option. It should have been, this is what her attitude should have been if she was a word person or wanting to do the word. I will be in the congregation of the righteous, because the word says this. That's the way she should have been. That's the way a person who renews their mind will act. I will not allow the curse. I will not allow the devil. I will not allow circumstances to get in my way. So get out of the way, mountain, in the name of Jesus. That's the way we deal with things like that. You can't deal with it passively. You must be a person who says, well, I'm in a war, and any opposition that comes and tries to put the wrong thinking into my mind must be dealt with very forcefully using the weapons of the warfare that I've been given. I just want to finish with Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Now, the Bible, we could talk a lot more about this, but I want to finish this area because I've got a lot of preaching to do on other things. The Bible talks a lot about thinking on the right things, okay? We talked the other week about meditating on the Word. If you don't think on the right things, but if, for example, if you have the television on all the time and letting that thing get into your mind and into your heart, then you're not going to be able to put things in its right place, which it should be. Now, the Word has to be priority if you're to have the victory that God wants you to have. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I want to finish with this. We've looked at the battleground of the soul. We've looked at two parts. We're going to go into another area when I next preach on a Sunday. If ye then be risen with Christ. Is that you and me? Have you been born again? Are you saved? Well, then you're risen with Christ. Okay? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And I'll read verse 3 as well. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You see, the world should be dead to you in terms of its influence, in terms of it being able to get you to conform to it. It should be dead to you. And you should be able to say, that's it. It doesn't matter about what they're preaching or they're saying or they're trying to make me believe. I believe the Word of God. That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. And so what we have to do is seek those things that are above. Above only and not beneath. Okay? Seek those things that are above. What we have to do is set our affection, which is in the soul, by the way, set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, in other words, get your attention and your focus on the right areas. It's called the law of focus. The law of focus. If you focus on the right areas, then it's not going to be hard to be transformed by the renewing of your soul. But if your focus is all over the place, you cannot do what God wants you to do. You cannot conform to what God wants you to conform to. But so we must have our focus, our minds, focused on the right things. And you know how, if you've got a laser focused, it'll burn through, it'll get through. Well, that's what God wants us to have in our lives. A focus that will cause us, well, my mind, my affection is on things above, not on things on the earth. Yes, there's things happening around me, but I'm dead to that. I'm alive to Christ. I'm alive to God. And I have the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That should give you great joy and peace. Glory to God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord. And I want to give everyone here an opportunity to commit to Christ, to commit to his way in terms of allowing yourself to have the mind of Christ, in terms of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So say, even as a whisper within yourself, say, Lord, I am committed to thinking your way and to going your way. The Word is final authority in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that's what you confirm. And I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.